Let's do that unto the Lord.
Praise God. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Did you ever stop to think tonight, while the glory of this meeting, the blessing, Shekinah glory of God was pressing on us, what a privilege it is for us to be here. Where did you come from? How did you get here? What pulled us all together? What made us love one another? What gave us that joyful shout? Who put that respect unto the eternal God in our lives? Nothing but the Holy Spirit. He has deluged us with His power, brought us a consciousness of God, and we're in the midst of a beautiful presence that I trust will not pass away. I want to thank God for the Mangan family. I've known them since 1938. It's right after Moses crossed the Red Sea. And I've known their son before he was a thought concept. And I fussed at Brother and Sister Mangan several times. I said, when you put out a good product, you shouldn't go out of business. There should have been four or five more like that. But the Lord can do marvelous things. He did it to Adam, or He did it to Abraham and Sarah. Keep your hopes up, Brother Mangan. While you're standing, I'd like to read from the book of Hebrews. And also, while you're getting your Bibles and turning to the fourth chapter of Hebrews, let me say, we thank God for the message we heard tonight. That was a powerful message. And I like the way He delivered it. He didn't bring glory to Himself. He brought glory to God. And I think that's beautiful. These verses have always been a blessing to me. I hope they're a blessing to you tonight. 14th verse, 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My message tonight is, we can touch Him. Yes. Yes. Please offer a prayer right now for me, that I may deliver to you what the Lord has put in my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your abundant mercies. Thank you for your goodness. All the joys that you put in our life. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Great and greatly to be praised. The eternal God, our loving Savior, healer of every disease, deliverer of every bondage, God in whom there is no veil, variableness, neither shadow of turning. We thank You for Your rich blessings. In Jesus' name, all the people said amen. You may be seated. We have a high priest that has passed into the heavens. In order to go to heaven, he had to leave this earth. And somehow, in some ways, I think all Christianity has adopted a sort of a stance about the Lord. And I think that stance is he is far removed from us. If you would take a measurement of the earth toward the heavens, nobody has yet done it. They don't know really where it is. But if we tried to take a measurement, I think there'd be a great big gap between heaven and earth. But what I am very interested in bringing to you tonight is the fact that that one who passed into the heavens, though he's in the heavens, is still in this earth. He is omnipresent. And you can find him, and you can touch him. Sometimes I am awed by the thought of the fact that God put on a robe of flesh and he came down into this earth. And I want you to know that he came to our level to advance us to his level. He came to us not to learn about us. He knew about us before he came. That was one of the reasons for his coming. And when he came to us, he didn't come to expose our sins. In fact, we had already been condemned by sin. He didn't come as the condemnation for sin, but came to take our sins away. I thank him. I praise him. I glorify his name. His manifest body becomes a human expression that explains to us he is within our reach. When he put on that robe of flesh, he took all the humanity that was a vital part of life and came to live in this world as a man. We like to talk about his deity, and it's great. But we never need to forget that God became a man. Kind of a man. Well, there were those who got amazingly inspired by him when he stood in the prow of a boat and rebuked a storm, and the winds and the waves obeyed his will. And they asked the question, what manner of man is this? When we talk about his manhood, one of the things that we must not forget is that God came in the form of a man, and it's one of the most amazing, magnificent, thoughtful arrangements in time. Jesus Christ is called the righteousness, the power, and the wisdom of God. So when we look at the book that defines and depicts and tells us who this Jesus is, we have to understand that that was God veiled in flesh. And that flesh had a purpose. The purpose of that flesh was to make us understand that the infinite God can become a force that can be brought within the scope of our needs. I am not standing here tonight talking about a God who does not know me. I'm talking about a God that knows every step I take. He knows everywhere I go. And he also knows the very thoughts of my mind. So that when we stand in his presence, we're standing in the presence of the all-knowing God. And the all-knowing God brought to this earth for the purpose of us having a chance to know him better. I want you to notice how John describes him in the first epistle of the book of John. That which was from the beginning. which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. And I like this. And our hands have handled of the word of life. We can touch him. John said, we handled the word of life. He makes it a little more clear. If you read the first chapter of John's gospel, John seems to be bent on the intent of making us understand who this Jesus really is. Now, we have a theology, and we can quote that theology, and we can talk about that theology, and of course, we preach about it many times. But we need to understand the flesh man. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show with you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of mercy and truth. So what we beheld was the express image of the eternal God. Jesus said something to Thomas in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the 20th verse. Thomas had made the boast when they had told him that Jesus was alive. He made this boast, I won't believe him, or I won't believe this until I see the scars of the nails in his hand and see his riven side. Jesus came through a door. Didn't open the door, just walked through it. And when he did, he looked at John and said, Thomas, and said, reach forth thy finger. Held up his hands, showed him his side. Reach, touch it. Doesn't say whether Thomas touched it or not. It just said he cried out, my Lord and my God, when he saw those nail prints. And when he saw that side. And then he said something further. He said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But I've got another message to give you. And the other message is, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet they believe. I preach tonight to people who have not seen, but they believe. We have not seen the corporeal body of Christ, yet we believe every report. We believe every miracle. We believe every healing. We believe he has power of deliverance. He wrought it while he was in this earth. My question tonight is, because he passed into the heavens, has his power lessened? In fact, I'd like to say to you, he did not return to the heavens a loser. He returned to the heavens a winner. And now he incorporates in all of his being the great statement, I have all power in heaven and in earth. What happened that he should get all power suddenly in heaven and earth? Because he passed into the heavens and he took our sins to the mercy seat and he laid those sins at the mercy seat and let the whole wide world know he had forgiveness and remission and power to redeem the souls of mankind. I never want to minimize the greatness of the man. I know the greatness of God, but how beautiful that God could become a man. You can take all your religions. You can put them all together. They don't have a living Savior. They don't have a living God. They worship the history of other gods that are just Babylonish. I'll never forget standing with Brother Pugh in China, Red China. We were at a very large Buddhist temple. They had just opened them up after 75 years of having all religious institutions closed. And when they opened that up, people were looking in with a sort of a curiosity. And we were standing, Brother Pugh and I, before Buddha. He's very fat. He needs to go to Weight Watchers. But there was two little boys standing there. And they would furtively glance at us. And we both noticed that they were glancing at us. And I said, you know, they want to do something, Brother Pugh. I wonder what it is they want to do. And all of a sudden, these little Chinese boys took out of their pocket some whatever they were in Chinese money and threw it at the feet of Buddha and ran. They didn't know what to do, but they had a semblance of something. I'll give you what I got in my pocket. And they ran. Buddha never moved. He didn't even pick up the offering. What I'm trying to say to you, we have a God in form of flesh. And not only is God in form of flesh, but He teaches us how to span the gap between heaven and between the mortal and the immortal by reaching out and touching Him. And the real question is, as I stand here tonight, we read it in that scripture. He has passed into the heavens, our great high priest. And there's a double negative there. He cannot. We know He cannot be away from the fact of our infirmities. He can be touched. He's trying to tell us we can reach for Him and touch Him. I want to tell you tonight, if I can, in human words, the greatness of that ability to touch Him. I stand here tonight. I touched Him when I was dying of tuberculosis. I know other people who were at the point of death, and they touched Him, and others touched Him in behalf of those that were dying. There's a real opportunity here tonight in the scope of this audience to come together with a unity of thought about Jesus, and you talk about revival. We can touch Him with the earnest prayers of our intercession. And He can bring things to pass beyond our expectation. We are now living in the midst of a revival that's just having its beginning. The end is not yet. A greater, greater source of power is going to come upon this people. Because the Lord that we touch has never changed. Never changed. His power hasn't lessened because He went into the heavens. His power is greater. I saw this happen. How do we touch Him? I saw this happen. Pastor of a church, I watched for weeks a little woman come in with her five children. And I watched through the months that came along and saw her bring them in spotlessly clean. But the longer she came, the more threadbare became the clothes. And I asked the question, are you in need of clothes? She smiled. I don't know how she could smile. She smiled and said, no, we've got enough to cover us. I took some brethren to her home one day and we went in. When we got in there, the shelves were bare of food. There was a little closet open. There was a few pieces of garment hanging in the closet. And I first learned that she was married to an alcoholic. And she didn't have money to come to the church. I didn't know that when she asked us one day, said, could my children go to Calvary Christian School? And I told her how much it cost. And her head bowed. And she thought, she said, I don't have the money. I said, is it because your husband takes all the money that you can get and he can get and uses it for alcohol? She said, that's right. He sells pieces of furniture. He sells everything of any value in our house to get a little bit of alcohol in his system. And so I told her, yes, your children can go to Calvary Tabernacle Church and there will be no cost. Now remember, I'm talking to you about how we can touch him. And so I told our manager, I wonder if Ted Black is here tonight. I'd love for him to hear this. Because I said, I want you to go every Monday and fill her refrigerator with food. And I want you to put food on her shelves. And I want you to buy some clothes for the children and for her. He said, that'll be costly. It's always good to have a good treasurer. That'll cost a lot of money. Yes. So this went on. It went on for a year. Brother Black came to me and said, you know, we spent a lot of money this year on that family. I said, yes. He said, we need some of that money for a big bill we got coming. I said, you know, the Lord knows where we are, Brother Ted. And he'll take care of us. He said, well, we got to be practical about it. We got to be realistic about it. And there's a lot of people like that. They're realistic, but they don't have any heavenly realism. And so, as he arranged for the things to be put on the shelf, that went on for a year. And he said, it doesn't seem to make a change in her husband. I said, that isn't what we're doing it for. We're doing it to help that family. She never misses a service. She's there with her children. They're sitting in the pew worshiping God. A beautiful expression of love for God. Two years went by. But Ted said, how long do we go on with this thing? I said, just keep on doing it. God understands. He said, a big bill is coming due just in a month, and we don't have the money to pay it. We could have had it if we'd kept that money. Jesus help us. In about 2 months, this lady's uncle died. We didn't know who her uncle was. He was the president of the biggest trucking company in America. And he left that woman a tremendous inheritance. She walked into church one day and put on our desk $200,000 in bonds. And said, take this and use it for the glory of God and for children that need spiritual nourishment and strength in the work of God. You know how to reach him? Let me tell you, Cornelius prayed and gave alms. That's given to the poor. He prayed and helped the poor. And you know what the scripture says about it? He built a monument, a memorial to Almighty God. You know how to touch him? Pray and give. Pray and give to the needy. And you can touch him because he's aware of all that that takes place in our lives. When you read the Bible, there's such amazing things in it. As you read it, it tells us about the little woman. 12 years. Now, her name wasn't Mary. It wasn't Susie. It wasn't Gladys. It wasn't Hope. Or any name that you give a girl. She has no name. The Bible tells us just about what she did and doesn't tell us what her name was. But she was an individual. We don't know her name, but we know his name. She came into the middle of that crowd. And I want you to know, she couldn't push through the throng. She couldn't get through that crowd, but she had to crawl to touch a thread of his garment. She had to crawl to touch him. I repeat it again. She had to crawl to touch him. And when she got into his presence and touched his garment, he let out a cry, "Who has touched me?" And she got frightened, because she thought she did something wrong. But when he said that, the woman that had a disease for 12 years that no doctor could help, no human hand could help, and you talked about it often tonight, Brother Mangan, when you said materialism comes to a point where it cannot help you, and you have to have the touch of the Almighty God in your life to get what you need. Money doesn't buy all you need. Money can't satisfy your soul. But I know somebody that when you touch him, the glory of his blessing flashes into your soul, and there's something that comes to you that you cannot buy. But you can have it. Praise God. Pick up a man, palsy. Put him on a stretcher. Carry him to where Jesus is. Couldn't get in to see him. Too big a crowd. What was their names? I don't know. I have no idea what their names are. Might have been his brothers. Doesn't say. Might have been his uncles. Might have been his cousins. It doesn't say. Four people determined to help a needy man. Four people who would come and take a man to Jesus. I don't know what beat in their heart, but I believe they were compassionate people. I believe they were good neighbors who said, "Our friend is in need of help. Let's take him to Jesus." That's the best place to take people who are in need of help. He took him to Jesus. Couldn't get through the crowd. You know what they did? They broke the roof of the house. Now, nobody in that house was happy about that. The owner wouldn't like that. But people who are determined to get folks to Jesus, to touch him, will do anything to get them there. And they got him there, dropped him into the midst. And you said it again tonight, and I'm just piggybacking on what you said. The first thing he said to him, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That's the purpose why he came into this world, to seek and to save that which was lost. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when he said that, they muttered in their thinking. That is, they in their thoughts. And when you're around Jesus, you better not think the worst thing. He'll read your thinking. And he perceived what they thought. Only God can forgive sins. Sometimes people in criticism give the right tribute. He did forgive his sins. Only God can forgive sins. They made him God whether they liked it or not. And when they got him into the presence of God and he perceived their thought, he said, "Which is it easier to say for the Son of Man? Is it easier to say, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Be ye healed'?" And he just turned around and said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man walked away in his presence because he had touched the Master. Praise God. I get happy about that. Don't know their names. Didn't have any idea what their names are. Listen to what Isaiah says about it. If you want to touch him, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made, And all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. To the king. To the priesthood. To the rich folks. To the man with the big palace. All those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. You can touch him if you have that spirit. Let me refer to Brother Tekla Merriam, Gazanahi. Let me tell you about the churchy pastors. I was there several years ago. That church seats 10,000. It was filled with people. They were getting the Holy Ghost while the song service was on. They were getting the Holy Ghost while the preaching was on. They were getting the Holy Ghost all night long in an all-night prayer meeting. I said to them while I was sitting next to them, there's a woman down there that is possessed with the devil. I said, yes, I saw her. Just as calm. My brethren will take care of him. In a little bit, some of those men were down around that woman, casting the devil out of her, and she frothed at the mouth. You could see all the evidence of a devil-possessed woman, demonized by the power of hell, and in a little bit, she was raising her hands with a smile on her face, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. They touched him right there in the midst of that service. And you and I can have that same kind of blessing if we come to him in humility. Then Brother Tekla Merriam said, after we had ordained 127 preachers, small ordination service, 127 preachers. He said, you better get up against the wall. I said, why? He said, when they come at you, man, you better be having something to back up into because they'll just run over you. They're so hungry to have the touch of God and they feel like you're a man of God. They want you to put your hands on them. I got up against that wall and they swamped me. I mean, they just pressed in. Put your hand on me. Put your hand on me. Why is there revival in Ethiopia? Humility. Contrition. My God, have mercy. Let me tell you something. Some of us have been so blessed and so honored and so revered until we don't have 1 ounce of humility in us. We think we are owed all that kind of tribute. I want you to know I was without God and without hope. And whatever I have tonight, I got it from His wonderful hand. And I still need to come to Him in contrition and humility and call upon His name. We can have revival in the United Pentecostal Church if we'll take our lofty thinking out of our mind and our egos that are swelled up like a toad and get rid of them and just humbly cry before God day and night. We'll have that revival. Oh, we need to praise Him for it. We need to humble our hearts before Him. Does it work? Yes, it works. Yes, it works. Brother Anthony Mangan, do you remember what happened the other morning here? I don't think you realized what took place suddenly in the midst of this service on Sunday morning. I think you announced the fact that one of our men was imprisoned in Vietnam for preaching the gospel. You remember that? We got this note tonight from him. I want you to hear the note. When you announced it and the people prayed, there was a little concern about it because of the fact that when folks hear that, they put it on the internet and then it causes them problems over there. He was 4 days in the prison. Listen to this. He sent this to Brother Dennis. Just got out of Vietnam. Arrived into Thailand. 4 days of arrest and major interrogation. Vietnam, you know, is communistic. You can't out-interrogate the master interrogator. So they gave up. Listen, I can return in the future and hold church services in a church building. The Lord really moved upon many of them, and they were really touched by the truth. He can be touched.
You sent an angel over there.
Yes, sir.
No. He can be touched.
Arrested for preaching the truth. And now, after he gets through talking to them, he's going to have a church where there's a forbiddance to have a church because he can be touched. And geography doesn't mean anything to the Lord. We prayed here and he worked there. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you a little more about this matter of touching the Lord, because it's of such significance that if we lose it, we'll lose an understanding of the humanity of Jesus Christ. He was God in form of man. And that humanity did not commit any sin. And the world looks at it, and I had a man tell me, he said, "You know, I didn't commit any sin because he was God." Beg to differ with you on the basis of humanity. He was the eternal God clothed in a human garment. And that humanity was the same kind of humanity you have. I have. In Gethsemane, he prayed earnestly. And I looked at that, oftentimes read it and think about how he prayed and wondered, "Oh God, what was that heaviness on you?" He was so burdened that he burst forth in blood from his pores. I think you told me, Dr. Clipper, one time that when a man is under deep distress and under heavy pressures, that he can bleed through his pores. Jesus was under that pressure. What kind of pressure? Listen, he was flesh like you and I. That's what makes him so beautiful, so outstanding. He was flesh like you and I. And I think he had some thoughts. Maybe if I die, I won't raise again. If he has a human spirit and a human mind, he would think that. He struggled with that. He fought with that. He had told them, "If I die, I'll rise again." I think that flesh said, "You're talking a bedtime story." But I want you to know what he said. After he had struggled and fought, nevertheless, not the will of this man, but thine be done. And he acquiesced to the eternal pattern of life for his being. Went to the cross. You can touch him. You know why you can touch him? He knew about what folks needed before he came. But he clothed himself in the same kind of flesh you and I have so that he could go to the eternal heavens, and he sees your struggles. He sees your problems. He knows your pain. He understands where you're coming from. Oh, friend, what a great high priest we have who has passed into the heavens. I stand here tonight to tell you, not only will he hear and answer your prayer by humility, and not only will he bring you into a relationship that spans the earth and the heavens and gives you into the presence of God, but I want you to know also that you can understand that just one little praise, your humility, you're willing to give, and your praise touches him. He inhabits the praise of Israel. And he can inhabit the praise of your life. If you just open up and praise him and praise him. You were at the Milwaukee camp. You were at the Milwaukee convention. You were there when that crowd praised him, swept like a wave over and over across that audience for an hour, just kept on sweeping. And the little man came to me and said, "My grandmother's walking." I didn't know what he meant. I really didn't know what he meant. I almost wanted to say, "My grandmother walked too." But he said, "She's walking." I said to him, "Where is she?" He said, "That lady right down there is walking." I said, "Well, wonderful." He said, "You don't understand, Brother Urshan. 20 years in a wheelchair. She had been paralyzed from her hips down. She hadn't walked for 20 years. And said, "There she is standing praising God." While that praise was going on, God just reached down and she reached up and touched him. And he made her whole. Brother Sam Balsa, if I make a wrong statement, please tell me about it. Your uncle, Thomas was his name, Thomas Balsa, was imprisoned in Yugoslavia for preaching this gospel. They beat him. They put him in a prison cell. He was so beaten and maimed by what they did to him that one day while he was working under prison authorities, he was near a river. And he looked at that river. In fact, his insides had actually come out of him until he had such a stench no one wanted to get near to him. He was by himself by that riverbank. Everybody standing afar off. The stench was so bad. And he wished, "Oh God, if I was Gehazi and I could get into that water and get my body healed." 7 times, you recall, the man dipped in the water. He went down in that water. He just dipped once. And when he came up in Jesus' name, all the wounds of his body were healed. You can touch him. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you have in your heart, in your life, in your body. He can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities because he's our great high priest. He came as a servant. He became not only a servant, but he became a high priest. Now I want you to know who he is today. He's the ever-living, almighty, eternal, majestic God of all power who dwells in the heavens. And heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. I'm sitting right at his footstool tonight. Let's raise our hands and praise him. Praise him for what he's done. I don't know how long I'll live in this life. You come to a certain age, you don't know what tomorrow may bring. I don't know how long I'll live in this life. But if you never hear me, or I have the privilege of preaching in this, because of the time service, which is great and powerful, if I never preach again, I want you to know, you can touch him. You can touch him. You can touch him. He is not beyond your reach. The eternal God in flesh became the channel by which we can touch the living God. Doesn't matter how heavy the sickness is, you can touch him. He gives gifts of healing. Let's praise him.
For it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus.
To me, listen. Everybody put your hands down just a moment. Now, if you're in the building, you're sick in your body, you came here sick, would you raise your hand? Would you keep that hand up just a moment? I don't know anybody else raising their hand. Now, what he preached is we can touch him. Why don't we believe that God's going to heal these men and women right now? If you're standing around somebody, let's activate the word of God that we've heard tonight. Reach over and lay your hands on that man or woman. Let's pray right now in Jesus' name. Let's speak it on the authority of the word.
Yes, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus.
It is Jesus.
So come pray another. Thank you, Brother Urshan, for that great message. This is our cocaine addict that God's filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Nobody like Henry. He's going to send you home with a poem.
I touch God. Innocent lamb. My heart thirsts for you, God. My soul follows hard after thee. I praise you in this, the midnight hour. Deep calleth unto deep. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, and the heavens and earth be removed, I will pound at the door to your Shekinah until my entrance is approved. I want to know your power and glory. I will approach your throne of grace. I will be smiling because no one believed it. A crack addict seeing your face. Chains have been shredded, yokes destroyed, all hindrances put away. A river of tears, a heart full of love for Pentecost that has shown me the way. There are no words that are worthy. There isn't a song that could be sung. For a Savior that would die for a junkie. Yes, even for an addict, he hung. With pleasure, I'll give him everything. I will spend and be spent at all costs. For he gave me everything, church, my innocent lamb of the cross.
He wrote that. I'm so glad I've been touched by the lamb. I'm glad he can be touched. I'm glad we can touch him.
Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you.